V2 Football Fancast. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and joining me we've got Coventry fan Matty Roper. Hi Matt, are you well?
Yeah, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, good thanks. Good thanks. Let's get straight into your last game then. Played against Barnsley. Cracking game, 1-4-3. Must have been a great game to watch.
In terms of our performance, if I'm honest, it wasn't brilliant. You're probably sitting there thinking 4-3 must have been alright, but defensively, we were pretty abysmal, if I'm honest, which is unlike us this season. Obviously, losing Reader Johnson to injury hasn't helped. But no, in terms of our goals we scored, they were sensational. But entertainment value, top notch, really. But I'd like to see our games more comfortably.
So what was it? Poor defending for their goals? Because I believe you went 4-2 up and then should have saw the game out, really. But they sort of scored and got back into it.
The third goal came in the 95th minute. So that didn't really matter for them, but it was a really silly handball by Aaron Phillips. I don't know why he had his arm just above his head, no really real need to, but it's a bit disappointing. And if I'm honest, for the second goal, looking back at it, there's pictures on Twitter and stuff like that. You can clearly see that the strikers handballed it, challenging Sam Ricketts for the ball in the air, but it was poor defending anyway. We just didn't defend a little aerial ball, and if I'm honest, we coped quite well considering a lack of physicality at the back at the moment, and obviously we've got a lot of injuries in that department, but they just bombarded our box with aerial balls, and we coped well to a certain extent, but I think the goals were easily preventable, if I'm honest, and so it was just a bit frustrating.
So it was an entertaining game to watch, though, like, as a fan wanting to watch a fun, exciting game.
Yeah, very much so. I think there was a period, there was something ridiculous, like 3 goals in about 8 minutes. It was just crazy. Like, we went 2-0 off, obviously, quite early on. We scored in the 3rd minute to go 1-0 off.
Yeah.
2-0 off about 20 minutes in, and then at half time, 2-0 off, looked all rosy. But they came out and scored first minute of the second half, and then from that, the second half was just crazy. Like you say, for entertainment, if you were a neutral fan, you'd have absolutely loved it. But again, for us, heart in mouth at times, but I was still quietly confident that we'd go on to win the game because we've had a great start. So.
Well, Joe Cole scored a free kick last night. He's settled in quite well, hasn't he, from what I've seen?
Yeah, he's done quite well. He's not played too often. Like, he played about 60 minutes against Rochdale on his debut. Played half a game at Swindon, so he's not had too many minutes, but he played about another hour yesterday, and the free kick that he scored was absolutely sensational. I think it just goes to show that obviously his fitness, that's temporary sort of thing. He's lost that now. He's not quite as fit as he used to be, obviously, with age and stuff. But some of his neat touches on the ball, and then obviously that free kick that sums it up, it was just world class, really. I know it's only a League One goalkeeper, it's bet, but I think even if we stuck Premier League goalkeeper in the net for that one, it was just so far in the top corner, it was just brilliant, really.
So do you think he'll provide them moments of quality for you?
Yeah, I think he could be the difference in games like that. Obviously, he's kind of slotted into James Maddison's role, and he's a very, very good young player. And I think he's a bit like Maddison. Maddison tends to, he slows the game down a bit, which is good in my opinion, because we've got so many pacey players, we just can be a bit gung-ho at times. He kind of just controls and dictates it a bit. And he's shown that in glimpses. And if we can get a full 90 minutes out, we expect him to have a good influence on the game, to be honest.
So his experience as well is a big factor, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course it is. Especially, like, we've got quite a young squad. So I can imagine in the dressing room, they'll learn absolute loads off him. And on the pitch, he's parading around, pointing, telling people where to go. He's kind of like a vice captain at the minute, if I'm honest. He's not registered vice captain, but he's acting like that. He's a real experienced head, and it's good to have.
I suppose it's great for the young players as well, someone to look up to who's obviously played so many times for England.
Yeah, there was a real wow factor at the club when he signed. Like, players were tweeting, like, unbelievable, can't believe I'm playing with Joe Cole. And I think we've got a buzz around the club at the moment anyway, obviously after the turmoil of the last few years. But I think the signing of him, even though it is only initially a 35-day loan, it kind of does show the ambition, not money-wise, but I think times could be changed at the club now, which is very welcome.
Well, this is the thing. He's joined, obviously, from Aston Villa. Do you think there's a chance of him maybe staying longer than his month-like 35-day loan?
I'd like to think so. He said after his first game at Rochdale that he wants to stay for the full season, which was quite refreshing, actually, because that won the back of last season, certainly not. But I'm not sure, because their new manager, he... was he at Lille before with Joe Cole? I think Joe Cole was at Lille, I think. With
Yeah, he went to France, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we want to bring him back and have a look at him or not, but hopefully we can keep hold of him. Because like you say, even if he doesn't play particularly that often, the experience he brings in the dressing room and on the training pitch, he'll definitely improve some more attacking players on that side. And
well, it doesn't look like he'll be going back to Villa. Like he played once in the cup, I believe, and that's all he's done this season.
Yeah, and he's available on Saturday as well for the FA Cup game. So I think that kind of shows that I don't think they're too fussed about him being away from the club. So
just one more thing about Joe Cole. What do you think it was that made him pick Coventry? Like, obviously he couldn't make it at Villa, but you know, he could have gone on loan to any club, and he picked Coventry when, you know, I'm sure there were other offers he got.
Yeah, that's the thing. He contacted us as well. Mowbray didn't go for him, which is really, really good. And I think his agent came to watch us a couple of times, apparently, and liked the brand of football we were playing. So I think Joe came and watched the game himself with him. And then from that, obviously, must have been impressed. And he keeps saying in interviews that Tony Mowbray's a massive influence, and he knows his reputation in the game's good, and he's got a tendency to have teams playing attacking football. So I think that kind of swayed him a little bit, and he's loving it at the moment, it seems, which is good, and fair play to him. At least he wants to come down and play football.
Well, that's,
that's the main thing, is reiterated that time and time again. He just loves the game, and fair play to him, really.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He was saying about I missed the football buzz, and I think Tony Mowbray is definitely a factor in wanting to be at Coventry.
Yeah, definitely.
For that.
I was going to say, he's well respected in the game, isn't he, Mowbray? We're very lucky to have him, to be honest, and same with Cole.
Well, let's look at Mowbray then. He's made a great start to the season. You're fourth at the moment. Just lost three games out of the 16 so far. It's been a great start, hasn't it?
It's been brilliant, especially this point last season, I think. We're on 31 points now after Tuesday night's game. And at this point last season, I think we were on 16. So, obviously, a massive, massive difference between that. And he's just such a level-headed bloke. And, obviously, because he's come from the Premier League and he's managing the Champions League, you expect him to be a little bit obnoxious, but he's not. He knows that League One's not easy. He knows that it's not going to be an easy run this season. And he's just had a massive, massive impact. And he's just great, really. And the signings he's brought in, like Stephen Presley would not have got them last season. I think, again, it's his reputation, linking with clubs like Newcastle, Liverpool, Everton, Reading. It's just brilliant, really. Because obviously, with our finances, if he can tap into the loan markets and get players like we have now from Premier League clubs, then we should be in for a good season.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You've got a lot of signings coming in, some good signings, and now like one of the top scorers. I think you're second top scorers in the division at the moment. All new attack.
Yeah, exactly. And like Adam Armstrong, I know you're probably going to speak about him in a minute, but he is an absolute wonder kid. It's ridiculous. Like some Newcastle fans that watch him for the under-18s and under-21s, I believe, were saying that he's the best slot finisher since Shearer. And you can see that. And he does not play like an 18-year-old lad. He's got such a calm head on his shoulders, and he reads the game so well. He's just been superb. Because obviously he's been on international duty as well, so he's only played 13 of 16 league games. He scored 12 goals in 13 games.
Yeah, that was my next question actually. Yeah, he's done like obviously I think he's one of the top scorers in League One. Do you think I think he's played for the under 19? I think he's played for the under 19 England side as well. Do you think he could actually make it as a top striker? Do you think he could go back to Newcastle and get in their team?
If I'm honest, yeah, I do. I'm not just saying that because it's at Coventry. And
you're saying it because it's Newcastle?
Huh?
You're saying it because it's Newcastle?
Yeah, maybe, but no, he's you know, when you can just tell that a player, if everything goes right for him, he will make it at a very, very good level. He's got everything you need to make it. And Joe Cole, after Tuesday night game, he compared him to Aguero, which obviously is a statement in itself. And obviously there's a lot of pressure on Newcastle to recall him. And like I say, as an 18-year-old lad, he doesn't look like an 18-year-old lad. He doesn't play like an 18-year-old lad. He plays like a 26, 27-year-old striker in their prime. So he's playing like this at this age, albeit in League One. If he carries on improving, God knows what he can do, higher up the division.
Do you think he could be in the England side one day, maybe?
It's hard to tell, isn't it, with any young players. There's been so many young players coming up and everyone's raving on about them, saying they're the next big thing, and then it's not quite worked out. But his attitude's spot on, and like I say, as a player, I think he's got the potential to. If he pushes himself and if he has a good run and doesn't get injured and stuff like that, I think he could well be.
What sort of striker is he? Like, to those who don't obviously see Coventry all the time, is he like an Aguero, as you mentioned before? Is he a finisher? Is he a pacey? Is he, what sort of player is he?
He's got a load of those attributes, really. Like Aguero, he chases down quite a lot and just puts a lot of pressure on defences. He likes running in behind. He can take the ball deep as well if he wants to, because Mowbray's got him playing in a number 10 role at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just an all-round striker, really. He can go in any role up there. It's like he's played on the left wing a couple of times as well and still managed to grab a goal. And he's just an all-round striker. He's got every attribute you need. The only downside, obviously, he's only about 5'10", so his aerial ability is not brilliant, but we don't feed him in the air.
No.
So, and did you see his turn for his second goal against Peterborough?
I did see that. I'll link that in the description to those listening.
Yeah, I was going to say, he got goal of the week on Sky Sports for that. Just watch his turn. It's like ridiculous. It's like Premier League quality, that turn was.
Great moment of quality for him. Let's look at other signings then. You signed Sam Ricketts, who's been main man in your defence.
Yeah, obviously he came in and he's been given the captaincy as well. Yeah. Experienced head, again, won the League of Wars the other season. And he's been very good. He's mentored the younger defenders and quite well. And he's as a captain, you can't ask much more. He's obviously determined, and the main thing is he's very, very consistent. I don't think he's had a poor game yet. Obviously, he's had a couple where he's not been quite so good, but he's not had a absolutely shocking game where you think, what are you doing?
Well, I remember you saying in the last fancast we did in the first season that you needed to sort of defence out. Is he that leader you need?
Yeah, I believe he is. And like I said, I think we've kept quite a few clean sheets this season. A lot of that goes down to Reece Charles Cook as well, who came in goal.
Mm-hmm.
He kept like 5 clean sheets in a row in the league, which is just superb. But yeah, he's been a big part, Sam Ricketts has. But obviously now we've started shipping a few more goals with Reader Johnson out. And, Jordan Willis is injured as well, got quite a few defensive injuries, but he still has a big part to play, and he's just a calming influence.
What do you think of some of the other signings, is like that Vince Alot, Laumeiras and Fleck all coming in?
Fleck was already there, but
sorry.
That's fine. But Vince Alot, yeah, he's came in obviously from Leyton Orient, and I watched him a few times, obviously, when Leyton Orient played against us in League One in the Johnson's Paint Trophy, so on. And he always looked like a player that kind of we needed. We've been crying out for a holding midfielder who can, like, he was a bit strong in the tackle for years, and obviously to finally get one. And he's been very, very steady this season. And the thing is with him and Fleck as a pairing, they've just been brilliant, because obviously his tackling ability then allows Fleck to get on the ball more, and Fleck's passing ability is superb. So they're just the perfect midfield pairing, really. Whereas again last season, our midfield was fairly dismal. Like Fleck was playing out of position. We had Adam Barton in the side who was just really weak, and I think we got bypassed with the midfield too much. Whereas this season, it's more solid and gives a bit of a brick wall in front of our defenders as well.
So what about other signings you've made in the summer? Are there anyone you've been impressed with or disappointed with?
If I'm honest, Jacob Murphy and Ryan Kent, they're both on loan from Norwich and Liverpool respectively, and they're both good young talents. They've got bundles of pace. Like if we're 1-0 down in a game, you bring them on for half an hour, they will have an influence.
Okay.
But the only trouble is with both of them, because they're quite young, they're a bit naive at times, their decision making's not brilliant, but they're exciting players.
So, how do you feel about having lone players from obviously big sides in your team? Does it bother you that, you know, obviously it's good for them to develop, but obviously you're developing these players and then losing them, or are they great additions to the squad?
If I'm honest, in League One, a lot of teams have to tap into the loan market, don't they? And obviously, if you can get the highest quality loan players you can, then happy days. And at the minute, I think we've got four or five loan players that are absolutely brilliant for this level. So I'm fine with it, really. I know we're going to lose them at one point, but if they can stay and help us this season, for the season gets promoted, for example, then so be it. We need to get out of this division. So if we can get out with them, then that's perfect.
Okay. A lot of players left the club, a lot of them released. Were there any players you're disappointed with leaving, or did you think the squad needed an overhaul and you were happy they all went?
If I'm honest, when they left last season, I was quite, because I didn't know what the situation was going to be at the club, I was quite disappointed that a few left. But looking back on it now, I don't really think I would have kept any of them, really. I think we're, obviously, the start we've had this season and the squad we've got now. No, I'm not too bothered, really. I'm quite happy with what we've got.
At the time, who was it in particular you were disappointed to see leave?
Nublay a little bit, Frank Nublay, even though his attitude wasn't great and being consistent. But again, now we've got Armstrong and that up front, that really, really doesn't matter. And if I'm honest, I can't remember who else I was that bothered about. I think that kind of sums up last season. I can't actually remember half the bloody players. Well, yes, I can, but you know what I mean? They don't bring points straight away, whereas... I don't know how to explain it.
I guess that says it all, that if there's no one you really remember or care about, you think, oh, if only we had such and such, or, you know, Nublay or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas this season, like, even if it does go a bit Pete Tong, I think I'll remember Armstrong, I'll remember Fleck. I know he's been here a couple of years, but Fleck quality. I'll remember Joe Cole. You know what I mean? I'll remember those players.
I don't think any Coventry fan will forget Joe Cole.
No, nor do I. Even if he is there for only 35 days, let's make the most of it.
Looking at the weekend, you've got a game against Northampton in the FA Cup. I guess you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be good, especially after all the six-field situation a couple of seasons ago. I think it had a bit of spice to the game. But I think it'd be another tough game. I think they're about fourth or fifth in League Two, aren't they? And they're doing quite well. And despite their financial situation now, they're in a bit of a mess, aren't they? But I think it'd be a good game. And obviously, we're without quite a few players. So, like, Ryan Kent can't play. Adam Armstrong can't play. So... we'll have to shake up the top side a bit, but it should be quite a close game, if I'm honest, and hopefully it'll be an entertaining one again.
Is it a game you expect to win, or...?
I think we've got to, really, haven't we, being a division above and being in such good form ourselves. But like I say, with the squad being a bit depleted for Saturday's game, I'm not sure if it'll be that easy, but we should have enough to get past them, really, but I think it'd be tough.
All right. Well, you touched on it before, the six field. You played at six fields for about a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, about a season and a half.
What was it that happened? Because as far as I can gather, looking at bits of news, like, it was a issue with paying rent and deals over keeping gate monies on match days.
Is this to do with leaving six fields, or?
Sorry, you left the Rico Arena, didn't you? Because of rent issues and ended up playing at six fields. Is that?
Yeah, it was, obviously. The rent at the Rico was $1.2 million a year, and that was without any revenue off food and drink, for example. So it was practically impossible for the club to play. Because back in the season we got relegated from the Championship, that was the rent anyway, $1.2 million, and they didn't budget down when we got relegated. Whereas the average rent in the rest of the Championship was $290,000 a year, but they got food and drink revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was bad for our own as well. Like, the way they went about it, just stopped paying it and didn't try and negotiate, sort of thing. And then, obviously, their relationship with the council at ACL, who owned the Rico Arena, well, did before Wasp game, just completely deteriorated, even though it was poor anyway. And we essentially just got kicked out, really.
So you went six fields for a year, but like, attendances seemed to really fall while you were there.
Yeah, a lot of people boycotted, and I understand why. And the average attendance is probably, what, 1,500, 2,000, which for a club of our size, really, is just shocking. But,
well, when you think the Rico's 30,000 odd, I think.
Yeah, 32,000, yeah, exactly. So, filling a 16th of that.
Yeah.
But, mental, really. But, no, it was kind of expected, and everyone was threatened that they wouldn't be going. And I think it did kind of help getting us home as well, because I think we were losing so much money there, we had to sort something out, come back to the Rico. Otherwise, the club would have been dead by now.
How do you feel about Northampton? What's the relationship between Coventry and Northampton fans? Is there any animosity about it? Or?
If I'm honest, I don't really know that much, because I don't really know that many Northampton fans personally. I know a couple that are kind of fine with it and understand that we were in a bit of a mess and it just happened, basically. But I'm sure there's a few that probably kind of hate us now, and there's a few Cov fans that probably hate the Northampton fans for, I don't know why, because it wasn't their fault, was it? So, yeah. But I think there's probably is a bit of animosity, if I'm honest. And I just hopefully nothing happens on Saturday's game.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is it all going to kick off and get...
It shouldn't do. I think there might be a couple of idiots who start some rubbish off, but I doubt very much that anything major happened. Because, like I say, it wasn't really their fault, was it? It wasn't... Well, effectively, if we didn't go to six wheels, we wouldn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it was awful moving there, but what else was going to happen, really?
Yeah, well, obviously, returning to the Rico, that must have given everyone a lift, and I suppose that was great for you then.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Obviously, last season, the first night back at the Rico, we played Gillingham. It was just amazing, really, the scenes. Like, obviously, our attendances now are sellouts like that game was, but I think it showed the potential of the club, if you know what I mean, the fan base, like, it's there to be tapped into.
Well, as a stadium, it's quite a good reputation, like, with it's used for a lot of gigs, I think, and the Women's FA Cup finals there was under 21 games there.
Yeah, it's a great stadium. Like, I'm kind of jealous now that Wasps are utilising it more than us. It's a stupid situation, really, and a bit of a farce, but no, it's got hotel rooms, it's got concert halls, it's got everything. It's got a casino underneath. It's just brilliant.
Sounds good.
If we owned that stadium and got all the revenue off it, we owned it outright, I've no doubt we'd be in the Premier League now.
The amount
of money that you can make off that.
Yeah. All right. Final question. You personally, then, have you? You've been to many other games this season.
Yeah. I went every one last season. I've missed one this season, which was Yeovil and the Johnston's Paint Trophy, and that was 0-0. So I didn't miss much. But now I'm at university in Sheffield now, so travelling's a bit more difficult. But I've not missed any other games apart from that one. So yeah, I've been 99% of them so far.
That's good. Is there any particular moments or any particular games which have been your favourite so far this season?
I think the opening day win was good. Obviously, it's always good to win on the opening day, and especially against Wigan, who just came down. We expected a tough fixture, and that was kind of a little marker of how good we were going to be. And we played quite well. The following weekend, after the Capital One Cup defeat to Rochdale, played Millwall away. And again, obviously, they just came down, and we absolutely battered them 4-0. It was like 3-0 after 26 minutes, half the stadium left.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just brilliant. It was just brilliant. And then more recently, I don't think I'll forget the Peterborough game this season, being 2-0 down at half-time, just like we were last season, coming back to win 3-2 again. It was just brilliant. And another 3 points.
Must have been a great moment for you.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Like I said, the goals in that game as well were real quality. And it's just really refreshing this season. It's nice to have a bit of success. I just hope it can last.
Okay. You do a bit of a blog as well, don't you? And you about Coventry.
Yeah, I've started that mid last season. Just kind of do a match report at the end of every game and kind of put a few of my thoughts on the end and player ratings and so on, and then match previews as well and just a few opinion pieces. So for example, like in the summer, I was saying that who I'd like to sign and things like that, and yeah, it's going well as well with that at the moment. The Coventry City takes up a lot of my thoughts.
That's great. Well, we'll link that in the description for you, as well as that goal we've mentioned before. You can also follow us on Twitter at V2Football or Matty Roper, which I'll also link in the description. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, Matt. Good night.
No worries.